Hey, welcome back to the Cross Conference Cast. On this episode, we talk WPS action, including the All-Star Game and where everyone is in the standings. We also talk about the U20 World Cup, the full national team's upcoming games against Sweden, we give out our Twitter award, and discuss a little bit about how Nike kind of sucks sometimes.
Feeling like the world is yours, right? Whose world is this? Feel like the world is yours, right?
Hey, this is Joan.
And this is Ruth.
And now we are back. I don't remember when the last time we recorded was. Was it the morning episode?
It was right after that FC Gold Pride game in Philly.
Well, in my defense, I was busy and you were busy too. And since I record the podcast, there wasn't a lot we could do about that.
There were birthdays and conferences and Father's Days, and yep.
So there's a lot going on, but we have a lot to talk about. Though first off, I know you're watching the Men's World Cup. I'm actually kind of curious because I know this is the first one where you've actually been like genuinely paying attention and watching many games. How are you feeling about it?
It's interesting. It's a different style of play. It's definitely a different style of camera work. I mean, I've been watching it with, it's been all right. I guess I'm starting to find that the more I watch, the more I start playing Bejeweled with the players on the field. Like, ooh, if that line moves a little bit more, it'll collapse.
This has been
it's been weird. I expected something different from the men's game.
What do you mean different? Like incredible goals?
Incredible goals and not so many draws and better reffing. It's a different speed and a different landscape of soccer, but I don't know, we have Marta.
it is an entirely different game, and I think a lot of people tend to gloss over that. There's those who do not, but the men's and women's game, these are entirely different games. Some people say it's the same, but it's really not, and I know
it's
that there are smart people who agree with me. It's not to say that either is lesser, but they are very different games. Fans of either can appreciate, the other, but they are different games.
It's kind of like comparing women's basketball and men's basketball, or rather the WNBA.
I don't like basketball.
Okay. I don't watch baseball, so I don't know how that compares to softball.
Let's not compare.
Women's soccer and men's soccer.
There's no comparing. I was going to try and make a boxing comparison, but I don't watch women's boxing and I haven't watched enough UFC to really say that they're different, because I don't think they are. And you beat one person up exactly the same as you beat anyone of any gender. Okay. Well, I watched
true equality.
Yeah. I watched, the US men versus Ghana game in DC at a conference with a bunch of librarians, and it was rough. It was fun to watch it with my friends and colleagues or whatever, but that was a heartbreaker. And it was hard to like be interested in what else was going on. I dimmed some after that, which was great. But anyway, moving on to what we actually talk about, women's soccer, there's a lot been going on. But
at the same time, there's not a lot that's been going on, at least in WPS.
There's a lot that's happened, but it seems like the same stuff that has happened before. Like, it feels like nothing new, really. You totally expect these sorts of things. Like, Boston's still struggling, though they did just win on the back of a Chaney and a Christine Lilly goal against Philadelphia.
But A-Rod scored, so there's
A-Rod
that.
A-Rod scored first.
Right.
And so that looked like it was kind of be a little bit of some messages to Tony DeChico, who continues to get on and off the proverbial hot seat.
I don't know that the win over Philly can really get him off the hot seat. I know some people say that it's the turning point, but Breakers are still sitting at the bottom of the table, and that's not looking so good. They made some cuts and they signed DAK, but I don't know. It doesn't. I think his best move so far has been putting Nayer in goal.
That was great. That was we are big fans of Alyssa Nayer, and she's a nice lady.
She is.
good for her. She has nothing to do with being a good goalkeeper, but good.
But
for
she
her.
Is that too.
she is also that. Speaking of the bottom of the table, Atlanta. Now we talked
still
about
the bottom.
Still the bottom. We talked about this last night, and it seemed like now that they're the Atlantica, they're going to do just fine. But they came up against FC Gold Pride, and you knew they were going to lose. But 4-0 lose? Holy moly.
Well, I think it was 2-0. I think it was 2-0, and then those last two goals, Hope Solo just did not care. Like, when you look at the highlights, you look at the replay, she walks it in, like that. Like I was saying, like that DC game last year where she just kind of, you know, guides the ball into the goal.
That wasn't last year. That was a couple months ago.
It was?
Mm-hmm. It feels like last year because it was the Atletica, right?
Feels like it.
Yeah, it does. It feels like a lifetime ago. But no, I agree. She stopped caring. And I don't know if it was that she cared at some point in Atlanta, but... This is totally talking out my butt or whatever, but the impression that I get from Hope Solo is that when things aren't really going her way, she just tends to have a lot of, you know, apathy towards what, I mean, obviously in 2007, it was a little bit different. So that was not exactly apathy, but I think.
Yeah, I think this is new since then. But I think it's
that's
kind of
consistent. Yeah, that's what she learned when that situation. She obviously doesn't want to be in Atlanta, and I think taking the number 78 or whatever is sort of representative of that. If like nobody's gonna keep the number one spot from Hope Solo. No one's gonna do that. Especially not in Atlanta. So if she wanted it, it would definitely be hers. And there's not a lot that says she would defer to somebody who had the number one.
Right. I think Whitworth was wearing it, and they weren't starting her anymore. So it's not like Solo would have even been taking it from the starting keeper. It was just, and then they traded Whitworth, so the spot's open.
Yeah. So I think, and I think you agree that she just doesn't care. And either, I don't know if she has to go to a different team that she would care about or what, because it seemed like her heart was really into being in St. Louis. And then all of a sudden that's not working out. And so she's sort of, I don't know. I don't know if it was. I started formulating this theory about Chicago that they sort of have the entity theory of learning and success, where they will win just because they're good. And I think maybe Hope Solo thinks she's a good goalkeeper just because she's good. So if there's a problem, you know, there's nothing she can do about it. Rather than being incremental and saying, "Oh, I'm going to improve and work on this," it will be. I don't know. That's extra talking out my butt.
I'm kind of worried. I mean, I will get to the U.S. Women's National Team roster later, but I'm kind of worried. Like, I hope it's just a professional, a WPS hissy fit that she's having. Well, it's not a hissy fit. It's like, you know, her emo phase. She's probably
cutting right now.
Listening to Paramore, yeah. You know.
Paramore listeners are generally more happy, aren't they? I don't know. Anyway, she's got her subscription to Alternative Press. And
And she's I mean, I'm hoping that's specific to the WPS because she can't be a diva like this if the US wants to win the World Cup in Germany.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen.
We need suck it up. Suck it up, Hope.
Especially since one of her backups is Lloyden. But we'll get to that later.
Wait. What's wrong with Lloyden?
Nothing. It's just she's we'll get there.
Let's see. Carrie Dew, for some reason, is, I don't know, SC Gold Prides.
She's the Weimer this year, it looks like.
She's the Weimer. She's the Weimer. And considering they're friends, I guess maybe that's appropriate. But she hasn't been playing and she hasn't been rostered, even though she's been traveling with the team.
Yeah. And she's not injured. So, but at the same time, like, I guess I don't get to complain because they won against Atlanta. They didn't win against Sky Blue FC at home, but from the sounds of it, that was just a weird game. I mean, I watched it, but at the same time, like, watching it, you don't get a real sense of, you know, it's so hot on that field that the fans are passing out in the stands.
What? I don't know about the heat thing. Why does one team suffer more than the other, really? when it comes to heat, especially the home team, that confuses me. Anyway, Brian Escurry is on the season-ending injury list for Washington Freedom, and which means well, really nothing because she was number three, I guess.
Yep.
Because they have McLeod, they have Harris, and McLeod.
They have McCray.
McLeod, holy moly! From this, I listened to the Chicago Washington game. And it seems like she's pretty much stood on her head to make sure to earn Washington a point there. And of course, she doesn't have to stand on her head for very long because, you know, Chicago can't finish. But yeah, that I don't think that really means anything.
I heard from our DC contact that that first of all, it was not Allie Long that was tying her shoe. It was the Norwegian.
Oh.
So they're equally useless, I guess. and Abby was apparently having a Hope Solo moment. Well, game, really. Because she felt like she wasn't getting support from the rest of the team. And, you know, eventually just spent most of the game yelling at them.
And being in the midfield, apparently. She will do that. She will drift into the midfield and try to take it. Even though that's not really her role, it sounded like she was having a rough game. She does.
Sky Blue?
Sky Blue. Oh, yes, yeah, Sky Blue. Didn't they have a bye week this week?
Or? They did. They lost Karen Bardsley, who's been like the only reason they've had any success this season. They lost her right before the All-Star game. She got injured in a practice for that. Cracked her collarbone or something. And they finally cut Landstrom, who I think went to Frankfurt, rejoined Frankfurt, or joined Frankfurt. I don't know if she was with them before. And it seems like it was mostly a personality clash there. You know, sort of like Sky Blue FC had all of last season.
Yeah, they seem to have those problems. We'll get to this later, but apparently Carly Lloyd just ran for the first time since breaking her ankle.
Just since then?
Yeah. Well, if her personal Twitter account is to be believed. Anyway, so, the loss to Bardsley. We should talk about the All-Star game, which happened last week. Except there's nothing really to talk about. It was kind of ridiculous. It was exactly as ridiculous as I thought it would be. Except even more so because it was like, I don't know what the reasoning behind the picks were, but it's like Marta got all the good ones and then Abby took the US players.
essentially that was it.
And all these like really serious reports were like, oh, the Abby's team looks so organized. And I guess organized enough to lose, like, what was it? Was it 4-2 or was it?
It was like 5-2.
Something.
I don't know. I missed the very end of the game and I was just like, that's a crazy scoreline.
Yeah, I immediately forgot about it.
The only thing I didn't forget about though was Bachman.
Bachman doing nothing, you mean?
Yes, yes. It was not a forgettable it was not a forgettable performance. It was like, you know, I still don't understand why she's in this league, why she was so highly promoted, why she still has a job. Like, she's like Tobin Heath, except without any finishing skills at all. And I know that supposedly she scored a lot over in Sweden or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've had players on the national team that that will have a really great year and then never get called back. And I think Bachman either needs to, you know, take some time and get over that back injury or just kind of leave the WPS.
She reminds me, like, now that I think about it, she does remind me a lot of when Cristiano Ronaldo first came to Manchester United, and he was just this show pony, and he got a lot of criticism for it. Because, I mean, it was like, oh, he's got such fast feet, and look at all his tricks, and but he didn't score a whole lot. And, of course, he turned that around. So maybe give her a little time to grow, because this is a very different place than where she was before. Though having a back injury at how old is she? 19?
She's got to be 19 or 20. She's playing in the under 20 World Cup.
That's kind of frightening, because back injuries are just nothing to mess with. It's just no. It's no.
Yeah, risk. Look at Lohman.
I mean, look at what it did to her hair. Yeah, it spread. Okay.
Some terrible things happened to it over time.
So do you feel like that's it for the, I mean, the upcoming games, there are games on Wednesday, the 7th, I guess, which is very strange. But I guess it's the summer.
Same day as World Cup games, isn't it?
Oh yeah. But later I looked on my calendar and, anyway, so the season continues and it looks like there's nothing really that's going to shake FC Gold Pride down. I mean,
have you looked at the standings?
No,
it's actually interesting. I didn't realize that the Freedom had dropped so far. It's FC Gold Pride, obviously, and then Philadelphia, then Sky Blue FC, and then the Freedom, and then the Red Stars. So Chicago has room to climb back up there and knock the Freedom out.
That would be great. I mean, though I don't see that particular game against Chicago for the Freedom being representative of what will happen the rest of the season.
Oh, no, I think it'll be like last year when Sky Blue FC backed their way into the playoffs. They got in because Boston couldn't deliver, you know. It'll be like Sky Blue is gonna drop this year and Freedom Red Stars will pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Hopefully.
Okay, so I think that kind of wraps it up for the WPS stuff. I'm not loving you the way I wanted to. What I had to do, had to run from you. I'm in love with you, but the time is wrong, and that haunted me all the way home. So you never know, never, never know. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess, Pally, and how this season has been very strange.
Very strange. So Pally Blues have pretty much owned the W League the past 2 years. They started in 2008 with a lot of players that ended up in the WPS in 2009. I think Jill Oakes and Kendall Fletcher captained. And then there was just a whole slew of others. And so they went undefeated for two whole years, won the championships, everything. And we were actually there last year. We got to see that team, even with some of their college players gone because the season ran so late. College players had to go back to their teams. They still won against the Washington, whatever they're called.
Was it Freedom Reserve? No, it was something else. I don't remember. Anyway,
it's something stupid
going.
Now.
Keep going.
Yeah. But this year, they are they seem to be struggling quite a bit. They have three wins. Their first three games were wins, and one of those was exhibition. And then they had two draws and three losses. Two of those losses were to Vancouver, the Whitecaps. And then they had another draw. And so their playoff hopes are starting to look a little shaky. Poor Charlie Nimmo.
Yeah, I mean...
But the roster is really different this year. There seems to be a lot of emphasis, at least in the social media. I don't know about the actual games, because there's no way of watching W League games, really. There seems to be a lot of emphasis on internationals, and the two highly promoted under 23 players, Lauren Folks and Alex Morgan, have been away with the under 23 team. And I think at least one of them, maybe both, are away again right now in England with that team. So, Nimmo doesn't mess up with the roster often, but this one's sort of looking like a dud.
Yeah, it's very strange to watch him struggle, especially with going from the Wildcats to... Did he go straight to...
No, he had, I think, I'm not positive because there was like a year there where I just didn't follow any of the New Jersey teams. I think he was with, I don't even remember what they were called, but they were basically the precursor to Sky Blue, right?
Oh, why yeah.
And then he went to Pally and the LA Soul, obviously. So he had some really successful seasons.
Yeah, so it is very strange to see a team of his struggle. And he's been very forthcoming on his Twitters, given some toots about how it is very much a different season that he's having. You know, in the wake of the men's exit from the World Cup, Nike produced this video, very heartfelt, called Paving the Way. And I guess it's an advertisement. I have not seen it on television. Then again, I don't really watch much television, so that isn't Food Network, and they're not advertising on that, clearly.
What a shame.
I know, right? but it features what are, I guess, actually actors, but some people clearly in Nike soccer training gear thanking the men for their good work in the World Cup. And I mean, these were all legitimate, very legitimate statements and, you know, thank you for not diving and that sort of thing. And you've made us just so proud, etc. And... I mean, the sentiment is very sweet, but there was one glaring thing that stood out, and that it was all guys. And I think some of them were just like in street clothes or whatever. Street clothes. What am I, 80?
Damn kids.
I know. Getting street clothes on my lawn. And that was what really got
they
to
were-
me.
No. Stomping on your flowers.
I know. Ugh. My azaleas.
Spitting on the sidewalk.
Not respecting the flag. no. they were all boys, and there were no girls, and it just seemed like extra. It's almost like I enjoy giving people the benefit of the doubt, but it seems like you had to try to omit girls from, you know, an American sporting landscape. If this were, you know, Ultimate Fighting, maybe, because there aren't a lot of young girls who are into the strike forces and the UFCs. I could be wrong. Watch me be really wrong about that. That'd be awesome. Just see these girls just beating the crap out of each other.
That'd be awesome. 12-year-old fight clubs.
Yeah. And there's a couple blogs that picked up on it. Let's see, From a Left Wing, Needs More Kittens, Dead, and eventually Deadspin as well, though they all had sort of different takes on it. My impression was, I mean, some people felt like, oh, you're just kind of pissing on the U.S. women's national team. And in some ways I can see that, but I felt it was sort of robbing girls who were inspired by the World Cup. And there definitely were a plenty of girls inspired by the men's performance and their heroics in that World Cup, sort of robbing them of seeing a representation of themselves.
I mean, if you think about it, like when you, it sucks, but when you ask like pretty much any of the women's national team players or any of the young WPS players or the college kids, like they almost always have something to say about a male soccer role model, not the female ones. Well, other than, you know, Christine Lilly and Michelle Akers and Mia Hamm, which, you know, that's all valid, but like 8 times out of 10, they're going to list a male player.
So what are you saying that?
I'm saying that, like, I understand.
Oh, okay. See,
like, they're not robbing the women's national team. They're robbing, you know, the players that, mm-hmm. that we follow, as well as, you know, other fans.
Yeah,
but
I understand. I, like, the way, I don't know, the way I heard that was like, so you're saying it's good that they got laughed at? No. No. I understand. No, I was like, what?
Have you met me?
Yeah. No. I know. I was like, that's a very strange statement for you to make, Ruth. No, I...
God, just cut all the women out of everything. We don't need them.
I agree. No. Yeah. And I mean, and on one hand, it's like, what is it Nike's responsibility to do this? I mean, do they have to? Because, like, obviously they don't need to. They're going to make money either way. But it seems like, I don't know. I don't think it was conscious in a way, but it's like, you spend so much money on advertising, and I know how this works. Like, you know, you do the focus group shit, and it's like, what, like, there was no one in there who's like, you know what, there's probably, you know, it's, you know, the biggest sport for, you know, girls or whatever, probably, maybe, I don't know. we can toss one or two in there, or, you know, actually have a representation of, you know, the youth of this country. You know, we're not in some country where girls are hidden or anything. Like,
not that you would know it by looking at our, you know, the USsoccer.com or, mm-hmm. you know, any of our major media. Yeah, it's really sad. And apparently, I mean, there was a letter posted, to the men's national team blog, and I didn't see a whole lot of people mention this. I mean, I hardly saw anyone mention this, but it was from one of the U-17 keepers that played in our qualifiers, Caroline Stanley, and she expressed, you know, she expressed not only her appreciation for the men's national team, but also, you know, how much of role models they are and the women's national team are. You know, like, she's not just about the women's national team, and she's not just about the men's national team. And, but of course she couldn't be in the video, just not no. possible.
No. Well, I think they did actually a casting call just for actors. These weren't necessarily, well, I think they were players, but it was more, but I think the casting call was exclusively for boys. So it's like, I wouldn't go so far as to say a boycott of Nike. I mean, in the light of their other advertisement, what's Right the Future, which had a very sort of sexist viewpoint of women, and it's not overt. I'm not saying they're doing it on purpose, because clearly they're not. They still need to make money from the women buying their yoga gear. But
Nike just has very, very specific, gender roles planned, and not like traditional ones. There's actually, just to go off on my thesis a little bit here. There's a really, really good article. I mean, parts of it are problematic. But it brings up a good point about Nike's version of empowerment for women, and how it's a very specific kind of empowerment. It's empowering towards, you know, a certain class and a certain standard, but it still keeps those gender barriers, and it still is somewhat unattainable for a lot of girls. And it was a really interesting article. I wish I could remember the title right now. But it was specifically about how Nike advertises to girls.
And I think, yeah, and now that, I mean, I'm reminded of something a very intelligent and incredibly smart friend of mine said about gender roles and how and behavior. And she said to me, you know, women don't own femininity. Femininity?
They can't even say it.
Yeah, women don't own femininity and men don't own masculinity. These are not like, you know, you can't claim ownership. And I think in the same way, you know what? Men can't own the U.S. men's national team. This is, you know, it's an American team. Women don't own the U.S. women's national team. And I think it's something that needs to be not addressed, but like acknowledged. You know, it's not, it is women, the women are on that team. And it is, you know, a team of women, but the ownership of that team belongs to, you know, sort of to the country, or, you know, if you support some other team, it's fine too. But it's like, you know,
but it's like the men's and the women's aspects of those team names, the U.S. men's national team and the U.S. women's national team, that has to do with who can compete on those teams, which is something that a lot of people will also jump on because of recent gender testing and various athletics and whatever, but it has nothing to do with what the fan base should be at all.
Or who can or should be inspired by what either team does. And so I think we've
I think we've soapboxed.
Yeah. Drag me up the drain pipe, look for the fire ladder. 17 stories, and I'm still climbing higher. So, speaking of young people,
speaking of those kids,
so young people, youth of today, the U20 World Cup is coming in this week.
A week.
Next week. Yep. 1 week.
Starts on the 13th at 5:30 in the morning Eastern time. I should know this. With a game. Anyways.
A game that I will not be watching. I will
be
sleeping.
Right. The U.S. doesn't play until Tuesday.
That's fine. I probably won't be watching their game either, unless it's later in the day.
It will be archived. They're all going to be webcast on ESPN3, and I've posted that schedule at our blog.
Yes, I know. I don't. Thank you for that.
No, that was just a little plug for us.
No. I have to admit that I haven't been paying as close as attention to this U20 World Cup team. For a number of reasons, the main thing being that I'm a grown up now and I have to like do real job stuff. And then
just
the
admit
other,
it, it's because there aren't enough pilots.
That's true. That most the bigger factor though is that Jill Ellis is still the coach,
and Mr. Tarpley is the assistant.
I don't mind Mr. Tarpley. I think he seems like quite a nice fellow. Who's maybe good at his job. I don't know. But yeah, I don't want to look too close at a team that Jillian Ellis is the coach of for some reason. But though I will be following it and watching and seeing them crash out probably.
Right. And you'll hear plenty from me about it.
Yeah. So you'll probably take care of like the real hard hitting analysis or whatever. But, we should mention that until last night, there was no mention of the U20 women in the blog.
Right. They usually get blogging done for their qualifiers and the lead up to the tournament. But the youth blog has been absolutely nothing but developmental academy and, you know, various youth national players coming down with colds, stubbing their toes. It's just, it's apparently taking up, you know, so much of the youth national team blogs that, the U20 blog is now on the U.S. Women's National Team blog. And it hasn't been advertised anywhere. So you just kind of have to follow the Women's National Team blog. They're not on the front page of the USsoccer.com. And USsoccer.com is still listing the CONCACAF qualifiers as the tournaments that our youth teams are currently participating in. But we already qualified. So, this is the big deal coming up, is the World Cup in Germany. And I guess we shouldn't complain, or I shouldn't complain, you know, because we're going to get the webcasts and they have started blogging, and this is the U.S. It's not like we're Nigeria and facing, you know, potentially not even being able to compete at all because our president is throwing a hissy fit, which he has backed down on, and supposedly the Nigerian team is still going to be playing. But that's just, I don't know, that's just ridiculous.
Oh, you know. Yeah, it is ridiculous. I was gonna say they do that from time to time, but I wouldn't say that.
But
now,
the immediate impact of what the president getting involved in the soccer teams, the immediate impact is on the women and on the girls specifically. The U20s and the U17s, who I think are competing in September. I know Nigeria qualified for that. And the men have, you know, another 4 years until the World Cup. Like, it's not going to affect them at all.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah, that... Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. Entirely ridiculous. But hopefully that it does seem to be mostly resolved and those girls will get a chance to compete. Which is good because, I don't know, the full Nigerian team always gives another team a run for their money.
At least slows them down a little.
Yeah, in kind of a scary way, but it's all right. So let's see. Are we kind of done now?
I guess so. I mean, the U23s haven't started playing in England yet, and the U17s, I think they're not really doing... They're not doing anything, but they're active. I mean, all three teams are active, and there's just been no mention of it on USsoccer.com. They haven't even announced the U23 roster, which you know, is kind of a problem because one of those U23s was just moved to the U20 team, and I complain and I whine, but nobody listens.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I'm female, and we don't really count as soccer fans.
You don't count. I think they're kind of on the back burner because they're not doing it. It's not a tournament. They're just playing some friendlies, right?
Right, but the U15 and U14 games or teams, you know, they get rosters announced and whatnot, and they're certainly not doing anything.
Well, then maybe we should ask for it. We should make a request to Bill Irwin's mustache, who will notify us immediately.
His bowler hat.
Oh, that would be terrific. Because he's quite a tall gentleman, I believe. He's a goalkeeper. So, anyway. Okay. So, the full U.S. women's national team is going to be playing some games. Not next week, but the week after, against Sweden in Omaha and Nebraska, which I've only been to Omaha a few times. It wasn't great. It was for camp. And then again in Connecticut And the roster was announced, and it's a little confusing. I'm a little confused here.
It's a lot confusing, especially since what I'm hearing from people is that this is, you know, pretty much the group that Pia is going to be picking from for our World Cup roster.
I hear that too, and I just can't believe it.
I feel like that's, wow.
That's a lot.
That doesn't sound like Pia.
No, it doesn't. It does not. The goalkeepers, I'm fine with Nicole Barnhart, Jill Lloyd, and Hope Solo. Those seem, you know, pretty standard, and I don't have any real problems with that.
What, you don't want Scurry on there? She'll get over that concussion by then.
Oh, it was a concussion?
Well, I think that's what they're saying. Yeah. She had it last year, too.
Defenders, there's, let's see, Rachel Buehler, Stephanie Cox, Krieger, LaPelbit, Mark.
I think the defenders are solid.
I think so too, though I am questioning the Christy Rampone choice. Not that I don't believe that she is a great defender, but currently she's just coming off a pregnancy, and I don't think she's played a full 90 this year. Kate Markgraf has been okay. Because I'm looking at other defenders and I'm realizing that Amy LaPelbit and Rachel Buehler. Well, see, they seem fine for the center. And I'm wondering, where's Whitney Engen? No.
No. Where's Allie Hawkins? Nobody knows who that is.
No, no one does. It's okay.
Where's Danny Potts?
Engen has been pretty good. With this season for the Red Stars. She's been all right. Marion Dalmy. Where's Marion Dalmy? She's a very viable option for the wings there. But, you know, you can only take so many players. Midfield, Shannon Box, Sarah Huffman getting a call up. That's great. We love Sarah Huffman.
We do.
And she's had a pretty solid season, though. I wonder if that's going to transfer to the international game, where maybe her size might be exposed. Though, it's sort of, quote-unquote, been exposed in the WPS play, but it doesn't seem to bother her too much.
I mean, we've seen that girl do push-ups after a game, so.
We're cutting that out.
I think you can't really complain about Huffman's size when you look at some of the other people Pia's called up. I think Huffman has proven to be a lot more solid than, Alex Morgan, Allie Long.
Let's keep going.
You know.
Christine Lilly. And, okay, I wouldn't call this season amazing, but it's not like I want to say I don't want to see her in 2011, but it's like, come on, you gotta let go. Is she going to be good for 2011? Because I think even if she was okay for 2011 in Germany, we're robbing someone else.
Wait, didn't you hear this is her send-off tour?
What?
This is her send-off tour? Yes.
Gosh, you're so mean. You know I've been away.
Okay. Yeah, it's her send-off tour, and Bueller's pregnant. And
just leave it alone. Lori Lindsay.
No offense, Bueller.
No. Lori Lindsay, which is a fine call-up in that, and very reasonable, considering Carly Lloyd has been injured, and yet is still on this roster. I don't understand that. I really don't understand that at all.
Well, she started running again.
That's right. That's right, true. As long as she can run, she can do just about as well as she ever does.
Hey, if she runs, she might do better.
Yeah. maybe better than Casey Nogueira.
or Allie Long.
Or Allie Long. Allie Long, who is on this roster. I don't understand that one. I wouldn't say she's had the best season for the Washington Freedom. She has scored a goal.
When has she ever had a good season? Like, ever, ever, ever.
Well,
I will take your silence as the answer.
well, no, I as the answer, I wouldn't want to tell you is the thing, because she had a good season with UNC, I guess. Though we don't really want to talk about that. Heather O'Reilly seems to do better with the national team than she does on the club level, I think. And Megan Rapinoe, whose birthday it is today.
And also
Maybe that's
Rachel
why.
Rapinoe.
It's yes, Rachel Rapinoe. Who's the more favorite of the Rapinoes, really? She's wonderful, light on her feet as a gazelle, and regular blood donor. No.
Wait, Kelsey Davis?
No, it's Megan Rapinoe's birthday along with her twin sister Rachel Rapinoe.
It would be weird if they had different birthdays.
I guess it's well, it's Rachel's earlier because I think she is the older twin, and the one with better hair. And
That's not really saying anything right now.
no, it's not. I can't say that Megan Rapinoe has had a great season either, so I'm a little confused about her inclusion, unless this is a really we want to keep these people on for 2011. Because I can see her getting over this slump
I think
right
that
now.
it's possible that this roster is an experiment in team chemistry.
Frustration. Oh, team chemistry. Oh, that would make sense. That would actually make sense. Because we have these forwards, Lauren Cheney, Alex Morgan, Kelly O'Hara, Amy Rodriguez, and Abby Wambach. And all five of those I see as being good for the next year. I mean, because I can't think of anyone else who would replace them. Can you?
I know a lot of people are going to be crying about Natasha Kai.
That's true, Natasha Kai, but that's
But she's still getting over injury, like
yeah.
just as bad as Carly Lloyd getting over injury.
I can see if she makes a really big push and next year is,
Fit and not breaking up with her girlfriend.
fit.
Not getting new
That's
tattoos.
yeah, fit and maybe as best as she's ever been or close to it. I can see her replacing like an Alex Morgan, definitely.
Yeah.
And then maybe
Nothing against Alex Morgan, but she does have some,
she's
like,
got some growing up to do.
yeah, and she really doesn't have the physicality, and she ends up on the ground a lot. So, I mean, we need solid forwards. And I think you definitely have that in Abby, in A-Rod, in Chaney, and Kelly O'Hara. I mean, I think she's solid in a different way
Yeah.
than those three.
She's very speedy. Not like just, foot speed, but sort of a very quick mind about
She's
her.
very intense.
Yeah. So I mean, there are some big questions as to why these folks are getting called up. If it could be sort of a last hurrah thing, that would be wonderful, because I would hate for us to completely decimate Sweden, which I think we will do, and then think that we're good to go for next year with this roster. Because
Yeah, I don't see that
we
happening.
still don't have a replacement for Shannon Box.
Box is in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
But if God forbid something happens in 2011, I don't see any of those players stepping in and being a Shannon Box like player.
I mean, I know people were previously talking about Leslie Osborne filling that, but she's not on this roster. Tarpley's not on the roster. Lori Kolupny's not on the roster. Which I feel weird even saying that, yeah, hey, add more Tar Heels. But like those are two Tar Heels I can definitely forgive.
Yeah, and it seems, and it's odd. I was thinking about the previous U20s and well, U19 teams.
Those were the days.
Yeah, and I'm looking at 2002. Who's left from 2002? Was Rachel Buehler was on the 2002 team,
All right.
and Sarah Huffman was.
But this is her first call up.
But this is her
So
first call up, so I don't.
I would think was O'Reilly on that roster?
Oh, yeah, she was, sorry. And Heather O'Reilly. So that's three, right?
Three.
Three from, wait, was Schnur?
No, she was
no.
2004.
2004, okay. That's right. And from 2004.
Wait, was Krieger?
I don't think she was, no. Okay.
Okay.
So from 2004, we have Stephanie Cox, Rachel Bueller was on 2004 team. Let's see.
Pino,
Ali Long, Amy Rodriguez.
Ali Long was 2006.
No, Ali Long went to Thailand.
She did?
Trust me. Oh, I remember.
I'm very sorry. I wish I could forget her from 2006, too.
I remember. We could talk about the people who aren't on there. Kat Whitehill. I think it seemed that she did a good job against Chicago, but I guess Pia wants a little bit more. Lori Kolupny, not on there. I guess still not cleared by the doctors. Do they only have like one doctor? Has he been in South Africa this entire time and not able to clear?
I think he was at the development academies.
Checking on those colds.
Yes. Those stubbed toes.
Lindsay Tarpley's not on here. And it's so strange to not see her on a roster, but she's
been on there since 2004.
I know, she's been that stalwart. And there was that one article explaining like how strange it is for her to be on the outside looking in on the national team. So that, you know, and that roster, I guess I'm definitely going to keep an eye on that one and see what that's like. Cause it's strange. And I mean, they clearly don't need the sort of shakeup that was necessarily in the 2007 to 2008 transition. It's just getting the right people there and then, you know, getting them focused, which I guess was true in 2008, but they didn't need that. They don't need to be emotionally healed as far as I can tell.
I think this probably the worst of this roster is that midfield, and that's really worrisome because Greg Ryan gutted our midfield, and this is not, I mean, I can see how some of these people have had a good season here and there, but I don't know how consistent they are. I mean, we know that Sarah Huffman's consistent, and we know that Lori Lindsay is fairly okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think if Rapinoe can get over her slump, I would pick Box. Box, obviously, in the middle. I guess Lori Lindsay with her, though. If you look at Lori Lindsay and then, I don't know, Shannon Box, it's like you're taking a little bit of a step down.
I mean, I kind of worry about having Lindsay on the roster, not because she's not a good player, but like, seeing the difference between her with the Washington Freedom and Philadelphia Independence, like this is not a team she's going to be leading. And I don't know how effective she's going to be when she's not the leader.
That's true. I guess. Yeah. So, it's the question of this second central midfielder. People seem really married to the idea of keeping Rapinoe on the wings, which, okay, whatever. So it's just a question of who will join Shannon Box in the middle, and sort of be that second Hogwarts champion. Because we have our Victor Crumb, we have our Fleur Delacour, and we have our Cedric Diggory.
I totally don't understand anything you just said.
we need our Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
Should I cut that out? Because that's not going to
No,
make
you
any
can
sense
leave that in. I mean, isn't... I think people
that was a long time ago.
No, I think there's a movie coming out. One of our friends was saying that she's doing a complete reread of the series. And I was like, wow, that's just painful. But, you know, midfield-wise, I would load it up with 2002s. Huffman, Tarpley, Osborne. Okay, keep O'Reilly. Pino. Lori can come in. I mean, although I guess Lori is supposed to be a defender most of the time and Box. But Lloyd and Long and And, you know, Lily and Lindsay are great players, but I just don't think that they're going to be good for the World Cup team.
Okay, so we're getting close to closing this down. There is an important piece of information that we were saving for the end, and that's that Tiffany Weimer has become a developmental player for Boston. She was unrostered, which, I mean, we said before, it doesn't mean anything that developmental players will play just as soon as any other player in this league.
But she didn't even travel with Boston to Philadelphia.
Yeah, she's not, and it hurts to see someone who has her own magazine, who's done a lot for the game and does a lot for each team that she's on, to not be rostered is kind of sad. or to not really have a team. I don't know. It's heartbreaking. And considering that even if she were not sort of cut from the team, we would give her the Twitter award this month, I guess, because
for the past 2 months,
we've been trying to not give it to her, basically trying to find other people.
And I even told her that, like, but she said, you know, if she absolutely had to accept this award, she would.
She has to, because we're giving it to her. She's been great. Still, she participates in the WPS chats, and she's still incredibly funny. She's doing the Our Game magazine, which has come out. How do you feel about it?
I like it. I mean, I really like that. One of the main stories this particular issue, I guess they're doing it monthly, is the Italian League. Like, whoever talks about the Italian League?
I know.
If they talk about international leagues, it's always, you know, Norway or Germany or Sweden.
Sometimes Italians England deserve something.
Yeah,
I love me some Italians.
Definitely.
And I was excited to see that as well. So good on Tiffany Weimer for having a pretty decent magazine. 2 issues under her belt. Keep it up. Keep it up, Tiffany Weimer. so Tiffany Weimer, we salute you for winning again. You've deserved it again in the past. This is your second win of the season. God bless you. In all seriousness, she's a very, very nice person who, I think, brings a lot of, I mean, not only energy to the game, but sort of an enthusiasm off the field about what she's doing.
She has a good sense of humor, and she, I mean, like, she tweets during the Men's World Cup and will interact with, you know, WPS fans during that. And, yeah, it's like she works 24/7, but it's not work for her. Like, she makes, sometimes she makes Twitter totally worthwhile.
Yeah, she's great. Okay. Well, I think next time we talk, let's wait until after the national team games. So next time we'll talk will be after the 2 games against Sweden. We'll have a few more WPS games to talk about. No doubt some injuries. The U20 games will be in full swing.
And I will be very chatty about that.
That's good. That's good because I talk too much a little bit. For more on the Cross Conference Collectors, please do visit our Twitter account, Cross Conference. And that's all one word. Or you can visit our blog, crossconference.wordpress.com. And there you can find Well, Ruth's really excellent writing. I've been out of it a little bit, and I'm gonna pick it up.
I slacked off in June too, but I expect to be making a lot of short posts about the under 20s, just because that's my tournament and that's my team, and I get obsessive about it. Even though I'll rag on this particular group, yeah, I've got a lot to say about that.
At least you like the coach this time.
Well, I mean, I like her, but not as a coach.
Yeah.
I kind of want to win.
Yeah. So that's what we'll talk about next time. Thank you all for listening. And bye-bye.
Bye.